The sermon this morning is entitled, Patterns for a Healthy Church. And this is taken from Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 7. You can find that in the Pew Bibles on page 914. If you are able, please stand with me in honor of reading of God's Word. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to faith. This concludes the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Join me in prayer, please. Father God, I ask that you humble my heart, and Father, that the Holy Spirit will deliver the message that you have today, and Father, that all the hearts of those in the congregation will be open to your word and to your truth and your love and your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We could use several terms to identify the topic of today's sermon, like model, instructions, drawing, blueprint, diagram, outline, and so on. However, I've chosen pattern for the ease of illustration. I brought a pattern with me for an example. I'm sure there are a few here of the younger generation that don't know what a pattern is. So if anyone would like to look and see what a pattern is, this happens to be a clothing pattern. According to Webster, pattern is a form or a model proposed for imitation. A second meaning of it would be something designed or used as a model for making things. When I think of a pattern, I remember the clothes patterns that my mother used to make dresses and shirts. Most of us here are the generation that have used or seen patterns in use. The majority of us would classify patterns as a good thing. But what happens if we don't follow the pattern? Let's say you cut inside the line on one piece and outside the line on the next piece. Or you don't pay attention to a print material and you keep changing the direction of the pattern. We'd mess it up. It wouldn't be what it was intended to be. David Cook, in his book Teaching Acts, points out in Luke's writing style that he repeats items of importance. We can see that in verse 1 and 7, and also in verse 2 and 4. In verse 1, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number," and verse 7, "and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem." The importance here is a healthy church grows in numbers. The second example in verse 2 and 4, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." In verse 4, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." God provides patterns for a healthy local church. This is the key point of the sermon today. God provides patterns for the health of the local church. In this passage, Luke has recorded three healthy church patterns. They are a pattern for problem resolution, a pattern for leadership focus, and a pattern for appointing servants. For those of you that are marking them in your bulletin, it's a pattern for problem resolution, a pattern for leadership focus, and a pattern for appointing servants. What I'm going to do first is to describe the patterns that we see in the text, and then in the application section, we will look at how well Mirror Community Church is following those patterns. The first pattern is problem resolution. It begins in verse 1b. A complaint by the Hellenist arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So a little background. Who are the Hellenists? They are Greek-speaking Jews living around the Mediterranean who maintained their religion through the synagogue in their own cities. Some were descendants of the dispersion, Jews who did not return to Palestine after the exile. Others were part of a large number of Jewish merchants drawn away from Palestine for economic and business reasons. The Hebrews, who are they? They're Palestinian Jews, descendants of the exiled Jews who returned from Babylon to rebuild Jerusalem under the leadership of Nehemiah and Ezra. They were intensely nationalistic, vigilant in their observance of the law and the traditions of the Jewish religion. They spoke either Hebrew or a form of ancient language called Aramaic. So the first pattern has three steps. Step one is identification. Step two is recommendation. And step three is solution. Step one comes from a complaint of the Hellenist rose against the Hebrews because of their widows being neglected in a daily distribution. Here, the wrong bring the issue to the attention of the leaders. In the recommendation step, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching of the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." In the recommendation step, the leaders summoned all the disciples and suggest a resolution. In step three, the solution, and what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip and Procurus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenius and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. The action here is that the disciples set 7 men before the apostles. The second pattern is leadership focus. It begins in verse 2. This is the first item repeated by Luke showing the importance of prayer and ministry of the word by the leaders. A little groundwork here to show that the elders of today's church are the current leaders. In Paul's epistle, he works with Timothy and Titus, identifying the need for elders to oversee the church, referring to them as overseers, pastors, or as teachers. You can find these qualifications for elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3 or in Titus chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. But let's read Titus chapter 1, verse 5. You can find that on page 998. In the Pew Bible. Paul states, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. What Paul's doing here is putting elders in place to be leaders of all the local churches. So we're looking at leadership focus, beginning with verse 2. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of word." So in this section, there's 3 items that are identified: prayer, ministry of word, and not serving tables. Lloyd Ogilvie says it best in his commentary: "The apostles are open to and transparent in verse 2, recognizing that the ministry of the word of God must not be neglected because of the need to minister to the widows. Apostles' ministry involves prayer and ministry of the word." You can find that in verse 4. This continues to be the primary responsibility of church leaders today. Many worthy ministry pressures will crowd out these priorities. We must constantly remember that the main thing is that the main thing remains the main thing. An important point. We must constantly remember that the main thing is that the main thing remains the main thing. To wait on tables is a great thing to do, but it's not the job of the apostles. The third pattern is appointing servants, and it begins in verse 3. It has 3 steps. The first step is selection, the second is approval, and the third is setting apart. In verse 3, "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." The second step is the approval. These they set before the apostles. And the third step is setting apart. This is the process of identifying individuals for God's work. And the third step can be found in the last half of that verse. It says, "And they prayed and laid their hands on them." The Holy Spirit is at work. While reading and meditating on this passage, one cannot help but notice that the Holy Spirit is at work. As a congregation of diverse backgrounds, would our human nature allow us to appoint a committee of only Greek-speaking individuals to manage the church resources? Or would the leaders would the leaders not be distracted by other ministry opportunities? Or would the leaders be able to ignore the human nature to be in control? Another indication is that a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. The Holy Spirit is at work in the apostles, the disciples, and the people of the region throughout this passage. The word of God continued to increase. This is the start of another of Luke's placing importance by repeating. The phrase is used in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, again in Acts chapter 12, verse 24, and a third time in Acts chapter 19, verse 20. We'll save this topic for another day. That leads us to the application section. This section we will describe how well do the patterns fit at Merritt Community Church and determine, are they a good pattern? Did we follow the pattern? Does the object made in the case of clothing fit? Or did we mess it up? So the first one is problem resolution. You know, in the steps of identification, recommendation, and solution. When I look at this one, we're dealing with problem resolution of internal church problems. I don't want you to confuse it with problems between, say, me and Dan, and how do we resolve that. That's covered in a different section of the Bible. This particular one is just looking at problem resolutions within the church itself. I don't have a good example that we've gone through recently to handle that, so I can't say exactly how we would do it, but I can tell you from the leadership aspect, if we were to look at the recommendation side of it, the problem would probably be identified. We would probably have the people of the congregation bring it to us. That part, I think, would work fine. But then when we get to the recommendation side, we're backwards. We have a tendency here at Mary Community Church for the recommendation to be put together by the leaders and the solution followed by the leaders. So I see us as being backwards in that. If you notice in the scripture, it talks about all the disciples were gathered together. So that means all of you all, including me. So we should all be gathered together, and we should all be coming up with what the solution is. And in the example, coming up with seven individuals. We have a tendency here to do that backwards. We would make the recommendation from the leadership side, and then we would look for approval from the congregation side. So I see that as being backwards in the way that we apply it. The next area is leadership focus. I'm going to take a little step aside here and just give you part of my confession and a little bit of background. Why am I preaching today? Was it part of Dan's scheduled plan? No. Was it when I saw Dan's list of items that he was going to cover in Acts, did I jump up and say, Dan, let me preach that one. I really got to preach that one. Well, I'm here to tell you it's because the Holy Spirit works. It wasn't Dan's idea, it wasn't my idea, but let's just say it came to conclusion because the Holy Spirit is at work. There's one thing we hear all the time from the pulpit is that when Dan preaches sermons, or if Rod or one of our guest speakers, they have a tendency to stand up here and say, boy, God worked on me really hard this week as I prepared the sermon. Well, this is a sermon that God needed to work hard on me. So I can't say anything, but the Holy Spirit is at work and I'm here because I needed to hear this message. So when I look at my confession, most of you know me, my basic nature is I love to have hands-on. I would much rather be doing the deacon's work. I would much rather be doing the physical things. I would much rather be serving tables. But that's not what God wants me to be doing. So he's been working on my heart and identifying where my focus should be. So when we look at elders' focus, I also want to mention that, especially with this passage, you can see that the groundwork that's been done by the leadership here, its primary focus is on prayer and the gospel. But when we look in this section at the focus, is my focus and Dan's focus 100% on the gospel? We fit in that category that we get distracted by many other ministries that are well worthy to have work done on them, but we get distracted by them. Is the main thing prayer and the ministry of the word? Yes, in our structure it is the main thing, but I'll admit, no, it's not where my focus is always at. So when we look at this section, and the items are prayer, ministry of the word, and not serving tables, I think I also need to explain a little bit, what do we see as ministry of the word? Ministry of the word is not just standing behind the pulpit preaching. Ministry of the word is applying God's word for training and equipping. It's also sharing the word in discipleship, counseling, and coaching. It's bringing the word to bear in other people's lives. It's far more than just preaching the word, but it's doing, putting the word into action. So, I classify this one as messed up. The third one is appointing servants. We have a selection process, an approval process, and a setting apart. Here at Mayor Community, how do we go through the process of appointing servants? Selection is normally done by the leaders. The approval process is done by the congregation. And the setting apart is done by the leaders. So again, we're backwards. All you all should be selecting the people that are going to work at Mary Community Church to be servants, to be in leadership. It should be approved by the leaders, and then they should be set apart. So again, I think we're slightly messed up on this one because we're a little bit backwards. So, we've looked at God's word today and picked on Mayor Community Church a little bit for its patterns. Before we close, let's bring the focus back on Jesus. God's the pattern maker and provided the church with patterns in order to make more disciples and grow the church for Jesus. His patterns are good. And because of the love of Christ and our love for him, we should apply these patterns at Mayor Community Church. So, I think there's three questions that we all should be asking ourselves. Here at Mayor Community Church, is the main thing the ministry of the word and prayer? The second question we should be asking ourselves is, as a disciple of Christ at Mayor Community Church, am I doing my part to keep the main thing the main thing? And the last question we should be asking ourselves is, am I making disciples for Jesus? That concludes my message for this morning, so if you would, please join me in prayer. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Father, I just continue to ask that you open our hearts and our mind to your word, to your truth, to your love, and to your grace. And Father, that you would convict them in our hearts, that this church might bring honor and glory to your holy name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.